Well, friends, we're looking at the Psalms this morning, Psalm 84. If you would turn there in your Bible, Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is found on page 845. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, well, here we did it again, installed a new set of elders and deacons. And ironically, it sounds like we're talking about something so trivial as installing or screwing in a light bulb. But today is not trivial at all. The Sunday each year that we install elders and deacons is nothing short of a momentous day for 10 people called by God to these offices in the church have the awesome responsibility to stand up and say, I am willing to serve my Savior as an office bearer. I am willing to serve Christ's church as an elder or deacon. I am willing to go on a 3-year incredible journey with my King, Jesus. That's momentous. In this psalm, there are words, better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. You read those words. A doorkeeper. The way the psalmist says it gives us a hint that doorkeeper wasn't just a job with a little bit of status. I hope that it reminds us of the story of Jesus in the upper room in the New Testament. Suddenly Jesus gets up, takes off his outer clothing, starts washing his disciples' feet. This was considered a menial task, one that typically a slave would perform, yet Jesus washed their feet. Jesus, the ultimate servant, foot washing, the ultimate bottom of the barrel service. That's how you can read this psalm. I would rather be a doorkeeper, mind you, a foot washer, if you will, than anything else, as long as it's in God's house, which was the temple, which we now call church. What was a doorkeeper? When our elders come out of the council room on Sunday morning after praying for God's blessing on the service and upon his messenger, one of those elders will typically hold open the door while the rest of the elders and pastor exit the room, and he'll flip down the doorstop with his foot. Every so often, I'll remark to whomever that elder is, thanks for being a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. But someone holding the door isn't what the word doorkeeper is referring to in the psalm. To find out that, you need to look at a verse or two in 2 Kings 22. And you read there these words, in the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent his secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, go up to Hilkiah the high priest and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. So the doorkeepers were the deacons. Bet you didn't know that. You deacons are doorkeepers. Psalm 84 is your psalm, but it's also very applicable to the elders. It's also applicable to all of us today. So let's dig in and break the psalm into three parts. Focus on the word blessed. Reopen your Bibles, if you shut them, to Psalm 84, 845. You will see the word blessed in verses 4, 5, and 12. Those are beatitudes, right? Just like in the New Testament. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. We call those eight blesseds the beatitudes. Another word for blessed. Anyone know another word for blessed? How the word blessed can be legitimately translated? Anyone? Happy. I heard it. Happy. There are three times the psalm writer in this psalm is telling us how a person can be happy. We're going to follow those three happiness directives, which sounds a bit like a Chinese restaurant, doesn't it? On Alpine Avenue, in fact. Those three happiness directives, we'll find out what they are, and I believe God's Word will challenge these office bearers today to follow exactly what God's Word says. We'll make them happy and do it. A beatitude is a portion of Scripture that says, if you follow this path, you will be blessed. You will be happy in your life because you're following the path of life and goodness that God has mapped out for you. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect or smooth sailing. It does mean that God will bless you with a certain amount of happiness in your life. How very simple is that to understand? Now, there are other things to point out in the psalm, but only one I want to mention before we do the three happiness doorkeeper directives. If you still have your Bibles open, I hope you do, look at Psalm 84 and skim it and tell me how many times you see the word Almighty. Almighty. Just skim it real fast. Shout it out when you got it. Four, yes, four. Verses 1, 3, 8, and 12. The word Almighty is strategically scattered throughout the psalm. It begins and ends the psalm, 1 and 12, so you know it's very important, and it's two times in the middle for reminders. The word Almighty, more literally translated, is hosts, heavenly hosts, or angelic hosts, or even most literally, angel armies. So every time you see the word Almighty, you can just as accurately say Lord of the angel armies. Now you're going to need that knowledge for where we tread next. But let's begin with point number one. First blessed, the first happy found in verse 4. Happy are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. It sums up the first few verses, doesn't it? The psalm begins by saying God's dwelling place, the temple, is a lovely place, a place the psalmist yearns for, faints for, desires above all other places, body and soul, flesh and blood, heart and flesh. He wants to be in that place because there he will meet with the living God, the God who is alive and well, but also lively, the God who is lively, dynamic, and actively at work. The God who is on the move, living, moving, acting, doing, speaking, listening, answering. I want to be at the place where I see God at work. That's what the psalmist says. See why being a doorkeeper in the temple would satisfy him just fine. He would be near God's lively presence. Even the sparrow wants to be there. Even swallows find nests there, lay eggs there. In the cracks and crevices in the walls of the temple, the birds can't get enough of that place either. They sing and they praise God there. One commentator has said, look at the text. Right after the bird bit, the psalm writer says, Lord Almighty, my King and my God, the two little titles, my King, my God. It's like the birds are singing it, my King, my God. So the psalmist concludes, Happy are those who dwell in your house. They're ever praising you. And now here is doorkeeper directive number one to our elder and deacon office bearers and to all of us. In your term of 3 years, your doorkeeper directive, learn to long for God and his church. Learn to long for God and his church. Now, what does that mean? It's not something that happens overnight. We get a taste of it, though, I think, when we regularly, actively are involved in worship, in ministry, and then we go away for a couple of weeks on vacation, and though we very well may and hopefully do attend a different church while on vacation, there's something about coming back home to Faith Community Christian Reformed Church. Many of you have said that to me. I've said that to others. Strange as it may sound, there's a longing, not for the place, but for the people and what we do and how we do it. It's a longing for meeting God the way we've learned to meet him. The doorkeeper directive is for these elders and deacons, for all of us, to learn to long for God and his church that way. Now, how do you do that? Number one, you pray for it. Lord God, fill me with desire for you and your church. Fill me with a desperate need for worship and the sacraments and the fellowship and the service. Put a hunger inside me for the Word of God that will not be satisfied until I get it week after week. How do you learn to long for God? Number two, you come earlier and you stay later. Doesn't that sound trite? But doing that allows you time to remind yourself you're about to enter God's holy presence. You're about to meet with God. And afterward, you're hanging out with God's holy people. Come earlier, stay later. How do you learn to long for God and his church? Number three, spend some time with five psalms this week and other weeks. This Psalm 84, Psalm 27, 42, 122, and 137. If you don't take notes, at least write down those numbers, okay? 84, 27, 42, 122, and 137. And kids, here's a thing for you to do. And you have to listen to me, okay? You got to do both, and you're good at that kind of thing. Add up those numbers, plus them all together, and see what you get. And you really want a challenge, you multiply those numbers. And let me know what that answer is. You let me know right after church, okay? Just come right up here. I have something for you. It's not candy, okay? But I have something for you. If you tell me a number, even if it's the wrong number, I have it for you, okay? So come up here afterwards. And if all you do, congregation, is add them up for the first few days, because adults like to do this kind of stuff too, not during the sermon, okay? It's fine, though, but eventually remind yourself, oh, those are psalm numbers. I should be reading those. They are psalms that can develop in me a longing for God and his church. Read them, meditate on them. I urge you, office bearers, to follow doorkeeper directive number one, to learn to long for God and his church and this place. It is a way of goodness and life that the Lord of angel armies will bless with happiness. The second blessed or second happy follows immediately in verse 5. Blessed or happy are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Now again, there's a more literal translation here. Happy are those whose strength is in you, Lord. The highways in their hearts are set toward you. Something along those lines. They have set the highways in their hearts toward God. They're on a journey to God, is what it means. It's not an easy one, is it? Not an easy journey. The one that this journey is, it passes through the valley of Baca. That's dry, desert valley. No water, no springs, thirst. A real rough road, rough times. Baca. It even sounds dry as dust, like a dry throat. Baca. But look what happens. The person who has set their heart's highway toward God passes through this valley of Baca and turns it into a place of springs. And the autumn rains come too, and there are pools of refreshing water in the person's wake as they move along, going from strength to strength And then at last, the person sees who they have set their heart on. They appear before God in Zion. They see God in all his glory, and he sees them and welcomes them home. Now, what's the doorkeeper directive here? Number two, learn to lurch along into the lives of God's people. Lurch means to stagger, to pitch or roll erratically or suddenly as a ship during a storm. To stagger and pitch or roll, it almost sounds like a drunken person staggering. It's not a very graceful way to walk. Yet for the office bearer, I warn you, it's going to be the main way you move to give out grace. They're going to lurch, congregation. They're going to lurch. We all do. We all start out lurching, and over time we lurch less, but then God puts us in a role that we start lurching again. Being an elder or deacon is one of those roles. Elders and deacons and pastors, we lurch all over the place as ungracefully as can be, but somehow God takes lurchers and enables them to dispense his grace anyway. Do you know what I'm talking about? People who have been office bearers before, people who have never been office bearers, they lurch. They come into situations and they pray about the people in them and they want to show love and tenderness. They want to confront in love. They want to get it so right and do it so well and honor God and serve his people, and they lurch. They stagger because some of the stuff is so hard. Some of the real-life problems in families are staggering, and knowing how to deal with some things lovingly with just the right amount of justice and truth, when you know it will be viewed as not just the right amount, how hard that is. Knowing what confronting someone in love may embitter them against the church, knowing that that may happen. And that's not the intention at all. In fact, just the opposite is true. And so to come alongside the best way, you know how, is to realize you're going to look like a lurcher sometimes, like you have no clue what you're doing, and you might be resented because of it. But you know what? The only way you can dispense grace into someone's life is if you lurch into the valley of Baca, into that situation filled with misery. If you don't go in, you will not give off grace no matter what. But if you do, and even if you're the biggest, clumsiest lurcher the church has ever seen, God can still take all your lurching and make that dry valley a place of springs. If you lurch into a place, somehow God turns that place from dry desert into springs of strengthening, refreshing water. God still takes all your lurching and wrings pools of grace out of it. But it won't happen through you if you don't lurch in at all. Okay, so I want to have a little help up here. Cora Veltema, are you out there? Can you come up here? I'll meet your dad up here, okay? So Cora and Jordan, all right? I asked Jordan before the service if Cora was here today, and he had no idea that this was happening, so now it's happening. Okay, so Cora, you know what this is. It's a bucket filled with water, right? And there's a rag in here, like a towel. I'll get a little of the water out. Okay, can you wring the water out of this rag right into the bucket? Just wring it out. You know what wring it out means, right? Yeah, just wring. Good job. You're doing great. Terrific. Okay, you got it? Is it good? Okay, don't put it back. Don't put it. Here you go. All right. Now, you got some water out, right? Now, let's let the big guy handle it, okay? So we'll give it to your daddy. Okay, we'll let him ring out. Oh, look at this. Look at that. And that is why daddies are so awesome. Isn't that right? Daddies do that kind of stuff. So thanks for helping. You made my point perfectly, and I'll tell him what it means, okay? Thanks, Cora, for coming up. Thanks, Jordan. Well, that's like these office bearers who will come lurching along into your lives, congregation, trying to wring out a little grace into your lives, and they'll think, I can't do this. Who am I kidding? And they'll think, I got a few drops out there, I guess. Oh, but they can't forget And what you can't forget is that their almighty daddy, their almighty Father God, takes their lurching and can squeeze pools of his grace out of them into your lives, congregation. Think about that. All God says in this directive is learn to lurch along. Learn to lurch along into the lives of my people. As clumsy as you look, be there right through the rough places, right through the dry valleys, right up to the end of your term, to the end of your journey. Learn to lurch. Let God worry about wringing out his grace. The doorkeeper directive is learn to lurch. If you don't lurch, if you don't go, if you don't make the phone call, if you don't knock on the door, if you don't yell across the narthex to get someone's attention whom you need to check on, the valley stays dry as baca. Learn to lurch along. Number three blessing, last word from the psalm, verse 12. Blessed or happy is the man who trusts in you, Lord. And why wouldn't we? For the psalm says the Lord is both sun, did you see it, and shield. The Lord is both offense and defense. He is a sun pouring things out and a shield protecting you from other things. He provides the offense and the defense. Now, when Michael Jordan was still the greatest basketball player ever, yeah, I know I'm living in my past. I don't care. That's my past, Chicago boy. Everyone touted his offense, his scoring capability. What people didn't pay much attention to was his defense, except the players who were guarding by him. They found out Jordan, well, he could play defense, and it was no game. He could steal, get in passing lanes, block shots, cut off drives to the lane, rebound. He was a defensive hound dog, but most people think only of his offense because he's such a great shooter. He had both, though. Well, God is both sun and shield. God pours out his gifts, his favor, his honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. He is an offensive God, but he also plays defense. He's a shield. He guards, he keeps. He's a fortress, a refuge, a protector. He's both offense and defense. So knowing that, what's the doorkeeper directive for these office bearers and for us? It's this: learn to lean on God. Don't do anything as an elder or deacon unless you're leaning on God, trusting in him, in your longing for him, in your lurching along into the lives of his people. Learn to lean on him, to trust him. Why wouldn't you? For he is the Lord who takes care of the little birds in the crevices of the temple walls. The Lord who can wring out pools of grace through our hands. He is your offense, pouring out his favor and honor upon you, not withholding needed gifts from you, but he is your defense, protecting you in the dry desert places. He is the Lord of angel armies. And beloved, he is also the one who, as verse 9 says, who has looked with favor upon his anointed one. When the psalm was written, that verse was written about the king of Israel. But in Jesus' day, that verse took on new meaning. For Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ, is the anointed one of God. And God saw the life and the work and the ministry and love of his Son. God saw his Son shielding us from the punishment, heading our way for all of our sins so that we do not have to endure it. God saw his Son shielding us from the sufferings of hell so that we do not have to endure it, all while Jesus, his Son, hung on the cross. But 3 days later, God looked with favor upon his anointed one, Jesus, and raised him from the dead so that we too shall be raised to eternal life one day. To which I say, why wouldn't you trust him? The Lord of angel armies. Happy is the one who trusts in him. And so I hope and pray that this group of office bearers learns to lean on their King Jesus as they go about their work. But I hope all of us, lean on our King Jesus as we go about our work, our service, our ministries. Three doorkeeper directives for our doorkeepers, and for all of us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful that you give us all that position in your temple, in your church, in your body. Doorkeepers, that we can trust in you as we do our work, as we do it sometimes clumsily, lurching around, but still, you take it and you bless it and you wring pools of grace from it. Thank you.